Well, it is good to be here. Anyway, I wasn't getting bumped out of my spot. I was ready, but just had to get here. But it's good to be with everybody this morning. If you could please open, actually, the scripture reading that we had this morning. It's going to be 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Set up here. So this lesson was inspired by some recent events in my life. I think those are good times to kind of talk about some different things, hopefully different things that are happening here and now that everybody else can relate to and take away with them. As I'm sure most of you are aware, Jesse and myself are expecting a child. Thank you for the prayers. We ask that for continually throughout, that all goes well. I also recently overcame COVID, which we have a pretty good record so far in this congregation of people that have overcame. And once again, I certainly appreciate the prayers throughout that time. It was incredibly beneficial. But during that time, there was also someone else I knew that was also sick. And he said something to me that kind of stuck with me, but at the same time was encouraging. And he says, "The way I've been feeling scares me a bit." And he ends off, "I need to trust the Lord." And how true that is. And thankfully, both of us got better. But unfortunately, that's not the case for everyone out there. It's just the world we live in. And I remember, even from such a young age, and I think this is where the scare comes in a little bit, is this it for me? And it might be silly to think as a young child, you know, this sickness, is this going to be it for me? And as we get older, I still get those same thoughts and feelings, but sickness and death knows no age bias whatsoever. And in that sickness, it can be a very humbling thing. It's a great opportunity for anyone to really turn to the Lord, even the person that may not necessarily be all that faithful. At those point in times, they may turn to the Lord. I need to trust in the Lord. What an accurate statement, as God still may have plans for some of us. And that's the beautiful thing. So that scripture reading we read this morning was just really a good reminder of the spiritual warfare that we're in, which we need from time to time because we're surrounded by so much physical around us. And I read specifically from 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And although we may have these physical and spiritual things, there's different times in which we may be separated, such as being in isolation. But it's important to remember the spiritual far outweighs any physical circumstances. Therefore, how we respond in those circumstances are completely critical. And it's important because they test our faith. It makes them all the more challenging because our faith isn't exactly something we can plainly see. It's something that's tested. It's in the unseen. And as Michael brought up in his invitation this past Wednesday, in regards to our faith, it's the things that we put our hope and trust in. And that's what allows us to act from day to day. So hopefully that faith, hope, and love and trust falls upon the Lord as he's willing to help if you're willing to allow him to. Which brings me to my topic today. And that's the impacts of separation and faith in which we need to have. During the COVID or isolation process, and usually if anybody's sick, you're not really spending too much time around other people. And it's in that physical battle we're also facing a spiritual battle. It's those feelings and emotions of helplessness with the unknown, the limitations of having to stay put. It's the missing of people, which when I got back here, even on that Wednesday study and being around our spiritual family, I was very much moved. And furthermore, not being able to in that quarantine, being able to physically touch anybody. Everybody knows Jessie's hands are some of my favorite things. I love her hands and just her presence. I love being able to hug people. And the fact I can't do that in that time frame, it's troubling to me. And on top of that, just not feeling well in that time. It's hard for anybody. But I'll tell you what, for Jessie, myself, and her child to come, Lord willing, it would have been a whole lot harder if we had to do it on our own and we didn't have to do that. The continual prayers, the people who reached out, God's word to take from, made all the difference. And we're both physically and healthy, both spiritually as well, by being with you. We had a lot of love and support. So I can't help but share that. What I have found with you here today has made, once again, all the difference. I believe, regardless of the ailment, it is a recipe for success, no doubt. So separating and isolating people from others, I believe, is something that Satan is possibly benefiting from. And it's in our most vulnerable moments, which I believe when we're alone, that he may take advantage. He's certainly going to try. There's no doubt about that. So in order to combat some of these things and of being separated from others, one thing that was helpful is, yeah, being around people. And the Andrews family was very, very helpful. So if you wanted to just go live with the Andrews family, that's something you guys could do too. Just keep that in mind. It'd be a whole lot better if they're here to see that. but let's at least look at some scriptures here this morning, okay? Let's go ahead. I'm going to actually take us right to the beginning. Because one thing we need to be aware of is that if we are alone, we are potentially vulnerable. And I think about Genesis 3 and Eve, right? Everything was going very, very well up until this point. And we have this serpent, which later on in Revelation is revealed to be Satan. And I'll read from Genesis 3, chapter 1. This is something we are very, very familiar with, but just a really good sense of someone that was alone that got taken advantage of and other people were impacted. 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. So it shows just how that one little bit of difference from verse 4, the word "not" is included in there. And that's all it took. And that just shows how tricky and cunning, I believe, Satan is. And the fact that she was alone in that circumstance, maybe a little bit too much dependent on herself, but those influences, outside influences, are all around us. And to know that Satan is so tricky, it's somewhat a little intimidating that that's all it took. I think any of us can say that. But it shows all the more how we need to be on guard and aware. And if we go from, you know, Eve all the way to Jesus, who did it perfect and well and great, we still see Satan playing on his weaknesses. If we go over to Matthew, the 4th chapter, this is him in the wilderness. And he is well equipped and well prepared. And hopefully we're striving to be more and more like Jesus each and every single day of our lives. So I'm going to read this whole section here because I think it is entirely beneficial. Because although he is alone, he overcomes. Matthew 4, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceeded high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." So the words, "it is written," allows us to see how Scripture is entirely important. It's things we can find. We're not doing this on our own. We're not. It is up to us. And in our weakest moments, just like Jesus was tempted by Satan, he didn't depend on himself. And this was a terrible 40 days and 40 nights. I can barely go 2 days, 1 day. Yeah, he did it 40 days and 40 nights, which is pretty awesome. And we see right at the end in verse 11, if you're consistent, because remember, we're in the spiritual battle. It's going to be a continual thing over. There's going to be many, many battles. Just because you think you win one, don't think he's not coming back after you. As verse 11 said, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. He eventually fled. But he continually is pressing forth. And throughout Jesus' time, his entire time, it wasn't anything physical that he was after. It was the spiritual that he was after. And over in John, the 6th chapter, starting in verse 60, we read just a little bit more about how much more the spirit matters than the flesh. And how we need to continually, even in the times in which we're alone, be focused on our spiritual well-being. John 6, 60. And this was shortly after, it's the context of Jesus talking to the Jews and his own disciples about coming down from heaven and having to eat the flesh and drink the blood in order to have everlasting life. They didn't necessarily understand at that time. But this reads, "Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" And this is the verse. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." And we see this continual theme throughout Jesus' life. He wasn't focused on the physical things. He was focused on the spiritual things. But the reality is, we're going to have pain. We're going to have anguish. We're going to have all those different things we're challenged with while we're here. But we need to be considerate of how that is impacting us spiritually and how we're impacting others spiritually as a result. I can't tell you the number of people in my life that have made a difference when you don't even know that they're sick. And they're battling day after day after day, that they're still strong, and they're coming to church, and if I have a little sniffle, I'm considering I'm going to stay at home. No, not at all. And we see even after this, unfortunately, there are some disciples that turned away that couldn't accept it. Making, if you have a couple people you're talking to, and they turn away, making you feel maybe a little bit more alone, and that vulnerability creeps in and all those other things that Satan's going to try to take advantage of. So at that point in time, you need to be stronger, wipe yourself off, get back in that spiritual battle, brother and sister. We need to be out there fighting day after day. And one thing we do is sometimes in regards to this being alone, sometimes we choose to be But is that the right choice? Which brings me to my next point, is in Christ, we have help. And we're not alone unless we choose to be. It's when we were first dealt with the actual quarantine process of Jesse and myself, of what we were going to do. We have this little two-bedroom apartment. We have, thankfully, we got two bathrooms. That's pretty luxurious for a little two-bedroom apartment. We had a door, we could keep it separate. We're really considering if we can make this work. But her work provided a little bit of a challenge with that, because until my quarantine was done, that's when hers began. And that made it a little bit hard. Making the decision which we're going to do, which we're considering the health of our potential child is also. But it's when we had someone offer us, once again, the help. And we didn't have to take the help. Could have did it on our own. But man, it would have made it a whole lot harder. And we have a tendency to do that sometimes. So we just make things a whole lot harder. You know, don't bother with me or anything like that. But it was a time in which we needed it the most. And that's just what Christians do. That hospitality, that love, that genuine care for what you're going through and what I'm going through, it's what makes this special. I remember when I was first going out and searching and going down to, it was, just a Bible study. I didn't really know anybody. But, hey, David, you're going to stay with this family. That was very weird to me. But, man, that's just the love. You don't get that really anywhere else. There was a trust there. That was responsibility. Do they know who they're letting in their house? I'm going to make my bed nice. I'm going to keep my head down. But over in 1 Peter, the fourth chapter. 1 Peter 4. Picking it up in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And any time I've stayed at one of these places, I never felt it was an inconvenience. They genuinely wanted me to be there. They're sending me out the door with food, drink, make sure I'm taken care of. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to know. And what an encouragement and what an example that hopefully I'm passing down the line. And I think of someone like Paul, in a lot of the letters in which he wrote, he's just really considering a lot of these other places that he had visited before. Colossians, 2 Colossians verse 5, hearing about their example. For though I am present in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. It's that little bit of thoughtness that goes such a long way with them. And when we reach out to others, and when they reach out to us, that little bit goes a long way. Knowing that we're not alone. And it's a little bit more helpful. And if we consider how we have so many people in our lives, a verse like over in Ecclesiastes. He's Ecclesiastes 4. If you could please turn over there with me. It's the value of a friend. And this reads, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken. So just something to keep in mind. Because we can see the benefits even from that little bit of passage right there. How having people around and with you is beneficial. But people, especially Christians, just, again, make it easier to bear your burdens. And one thing that was helpful is in regards to prayer. And a good old classic verse like James 5. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And this is that spiritual sickness, but also I think it could apply from some physical sickness as well. So prayer is something that we need in our lives. It's actually something I'm going to make a little bit more of a point later on. But I want to go back about if we're choosing to be alone. Because some people might choose that. And that is up to you to decide, but I hope if you see maybe some of these verses and some of the words I'm speaking today, it's better to have people in your lives. But even if, you know, you have these people, ultimately our dependence does fall upon God. So if you do decide to remain alone, a chapter like Romans 8, if you could please turn over there with me. In verse 35, starting. Whoso separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have free will to choose, but we know that there is nothing out there that can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing. Absolutely nothing. So if you do decide to be alone, know that. All right, my last point here this morning is the importance of prayer. And there's a saying I heard in my quarantine that I think was helpful and really made me realize I need to pray maybe a little bit more. And that's anxious thoughts are unused prayers. I'll say that again. Anxious thoughts are unused prayers. Because he wants to ease those anxieties, those challenges in which we're facing. And actually, for anybody that's been on the morning prayer calls, we have that list we look at. The book of Philippians, chapter 4, 6, this sits right at the top. And I think it's very suiting. That be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And it takes time to really evaluate your true thoughts and what you would like to ask God and approach him. And sometimes we get the best of ourselves in those circumstances. But we don't have to be. And we have other people that want to help pray for us. And going back over to James 5, we see that power of prayer, which when we're alone, we need to be doing. I'm convinced we need to be doing. It's a need, not a want. It's a need. But we have like Elijah here in James 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gates gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So we may not get that answer every single time. It may take a number of different times at repetition. Just like this spiritual warfare that we're in, continually Satan's coming after us. It isn't going to be a one-time thing. It needs to be really an everyday thing to be on guard for, if we have to be honest. And one of the examples, I think, if we think of anybody that has faced really adversity that we can take from, that's Job. Job was challenged in ways I don't know if anybody can really truly relate to. But he battled physical, and he battled a whole lot of spiritual. And we see that throughout the book, he utilizes prayer. Throughout the book, he utilizes that. And I don't suppose I have any particular verses I want to go to in Job. But it's more of like a synopsis of sorts. Like over in Job 3, he curses his birthright. Imagine going through so much that I don't know if I even want to be born. And I think after looking back on it, maybe sometimes when we're in some distress, we say things we don't mean. I think we've all been there before. So a little bit more we can relate to Job and some of those waves that, you know, he just lost his livestock and, you know, property, his servants. And I couldn't imagine losing a child. And just these painful boils. And we see just his pure and raw emotion just crying out here in chapter 3, which I encourage anybody to go and read it. But who could blame him, really? But one thing he never does throughout all of this time, and Satan is obviously the one behind the tempting, he never curses God. Never does it. Never turns his back on him. But continually looks for answers. And the same, we may need to do the same. The things we might not understand, the things we're going through, it's troubling. We're going to have troubles. But who are we going to for answers? Because it is not going to be found in this place. It's not going to be found in this world. It's ultimately God who's the one that's going to be the provider of such things. And over in 1 Thessalonians, and that's the 5th chapter, we can read in regards to prayer, and once again how prayer is entirely, I believe, important. Starting in verse 14 of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Now we exhort you, brethren, when those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And it's interesting, this is the will of God. And I think that's it's a loaded verse there. Because from this, God's will be done. Regardless of the circumstances. But we see we need to pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. And sometimes we just have it good that we forget to do that. When things are going well, right? We don't really have that rejoicing. I don't do it enough. And I don't know if that rejoicing is just hopping up in the air, yelling out, hey, we good. Or is it deep down in the soul? You're just sitting back counting your blessings. All those are probably pretty good, right? As long as you're given the credit. As long as it's not sinful in any way. I don't know if there's any limitations there. So have at it. All right? Have at it. So some of the things I've just learned in being put away. I guess it almost felt like a jail. It would have been a whole lot worse if I didn't have people around me. So the benefits I had with that, and I know we're very fortunate, and we were very blessed, Jesse, to have that opportunity, because not everybody does. And I feel like we would have had that invitation from a number of different people here. So many of us have gone through a number of different things. And it allows me to see a little bit more that everything can be taken away in a moment. That was really temporary, thankfully. But it can be taken away in a moment. And was I prepared? But I can tell you at the end of this, I'm a little bit more prepared. And I know what's going to happen again. Am I going to be better then? I sure hope so. But I know I got a fighting chance with all of you in my life. And what a wonderful thing that is. It's special. Don't take that for granted. We're here for you. It's taken us to step up to do that. And sometimes that's hard. So, some just things to remember and take away. Don't do it alone. Because in the end, you're just making things a lot harder on your own. The words, "it is written," are so powerful because the answers are found in Scripture. And sometimes we need a little bit of help to find those answers in order to overcome those temptations. And last but not least, prayer. From yourself and from others, praying on your own behalf. And the last verse I'd like to read here this morning is from two verses. Matthew 28. And it's a comfort right at the end in verse 20. I'm going to hop down a little bit, but it's Jesus before he ascends, saying to the apostles, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I am with you. I am with you. And he is. And what a great opportunity we have to remember and honor him here this morning on this first day of the week. And right before verse 20, and this is the invitation I bring forth to anybody that needs it here today, and this is a commandment we have: "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So if you're not a Christian here today, a lot of the things in which I talked about here, unfortunately, don't apply to you. But fortunately, you have an opportunity here today to be baptized and forgiven of all your sins, washed away, walked in newness of life, and have this family ready here for you. And a home in heaven one day, Lord willing, which is where we all would like to be. So, and also, if there is anyone struggling and needs help, we're here for you also. And I hope that you take us up on that. It's at this time. Let's come while we stand and sing.